All right, we're back. And last time we talked about all the different gens and what we liked, what we didn't like about them, etc. Now let's talk about what can we improve? How do we want the Pokemon games to change? What can they do better? And let's take a look at other games of similar genres to see how they improve on the formula, how they're worse in the formula, etc. Anyway, welcome back, guys.
It's good to be back.
Feels good.
Yeah,
Happy to be here.
Are we really happy to be here to talk about Pokemon even more?
I love Pokemon.
Are you sure about that? We had an entire conversation on eight different gens, and we
I feel
weren't
like we
exactly
talked a, I feel
glowing.
like we talked about how we liked a lot of them.
We did
At
like a
least I
lot of
did.
them. Definitely liked them, but let's talk about some complaints now.
Yeah. That's
So
why I
biggest
hate
complaint.
Pokemon.
You love it, you hate it. So my biggest thing is I feel it's stale. It's boring. You kind of walk through the entire game for most of them. You spam A on your attack move and it gets you through to the end.
Yeah.
That's my
It's
biggest issue
a
with it. It's very
it's
easy. It's very
it's easy.
it's even easy for like kids. Like back when I was a kid, I never had any trouble finishing a Pokemon game at all. Like, which maybe it's not supposed to, but even then, like it's extremely stale to the point where you don't even really need to build a team.
I think
Maybe you have a couple of types.
I think that it's really they're just so worried about they want to cater to the casual audience because they want anyone to be able to pick up a Pokemon game. And I understand that, but there is,
100%.
they also have this, caveat of people who like these games and have gotten used to them and know how to exploit the mechanics and, build a good team, or it's too easy. And I feel like they could address that by making the game harder, but I guess more forgiving, like when you lose, like
Maybe
if they really,
no, I
if
mean, just having like maybe a separate difficulty, kind of
yeah.
like what Black and White 2 did, but not in a stupid way.
It's super simple. Like,
Like it's
let's keep
dead
this
simple.
difficulty that they've had since, I guess, like Gen 6 is really when it started getting really easy. Let's keep the difficulty level that they have. And you can just call that newcomer or casual or normal, whatever you want to call it. That's the difficulty that has all the tutorials. That's the difficulty where you can basically just spam A on any attack move and win. And if you're not really like all that good at strategy or like all that good at like RPGs in general, you can pick that. If you're buying this for a young kid or like if any really young child is playing it and you don't know if they'll understand it, you can have them play this mode and like they can go through it, have their adventure, and they can enjoy it. And then they can have a second mode where they actually have the AI do anything other than just be stupid and call that experienced hard mode, like pro trainer, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter. And have that to where they don't give you hours and hours of tutorials, and the computer will actually swap out against types. They'll use status moves, they'll use their abilities, they'll actually utilize their team, and probably give literally every single trainer in the game one extra Pokemon.
Definitely. Yeah, I feel like all the trainers are extremely underpowered. They're literal just they're roadblocks essentially. They force you to get XP, and I can't think of a single trainer that isn't a rival fight that challenges you remotely.
No, God, no.
Like at all.
They're
Barring
there for easy money and XP.
maybe a Nuzlocke. Like a Nuzlocke, yeah, you might have to be careful there.
Yeah, it really comes down to at this point, if you want to have a challenge, you have to put a restraint on yourself.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing. So generally when I play a Pokemon game, I first of all I have to box my starter. The starters are extremely strong. And I box my starter and I try my best not to use like extremely strong Pokemon. Like I won't go for like, the dragons, or I won't go for I mean just any just like super meta Pokemon essentially. I'll kind of like try to be creative with my team. But even then, like after, I mean, that makes it a little more challenging in the beginning, but still, even by the end, you can, for most Pokemon, you can get them strong enough to where it's not, it's like, as long as you just do type advantage, you're going to be winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I've been doing is, since Gen 7, is doing all ghost type teams, which has been fun because usually I don't get to use, you know, all the ghost types. So it's been a good way to get me to actually use them. And I've also been very fortunate in that a lot of time, Gen 7, there's a graveyard like at the very beginning. So I had access to like four ghost types. And then Gen 8, they introduced the wild area. So I had a plethora of ghost types to pick from. But depending on which game you're playing, Gen 1, you're screwed trying to do an all ghost type.
You have six Gengars.
Yeah, all you do is
six Ghastlies or whatever.
And you don't have any friends, so you're just playing a bunch of
six Haunters. Yeah.
Yeah, so say.
So,
which would still probably be fine.
Yeah, but it's fun, but it really only makes like the game still easy until you come up against like one, you know, thing that like is a roadblock. Like for me, and it was in Gen 7, it was that Mimikyu fight, because Mimikyu countered literally my entire team. And the one I had, Decidueye, who's a dark type, but it's a fairy, but Mimikyu is a fairy type, so he was able to counter. And so that was like a fun challenge, and I had to figure out a way to get past that. That was cool. But even in Sword and Shield, using all ghost types, I don't think there was ever a point where I was like, man, if I had just one not ghost type, I'd be fine. Like, I just still blew through that game. No problems at all.
Yeah, definitely. And especially in Gen 8, like, I, like, really hamstring myself. I had, like wimpy little bugs, which I love bug types. And I had some really weak Pokemon. And, like, the only thing that gave me, like, remotely trouble was, you know, the champion fight. Which hit, Leon's team is pretty good.
Yeah, Leon's team could kick your butt if you weren't.
Yeah, and I wasn't quite prepared for that because I was, you know, I was clearly hamstringing myself, but
you had to hamstring yourself and beat the vast, vast majority of the content. And then you're like, oh man, wait, did I have to think about my strategy for literally boss, half a second?
The final fight. That's right.
That's not really a compliment.
I know it's
that's
not.
Challenge, baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, freaking difficulty, man.
I think the problem is Game Freak almost sees like for them the story isn't meant to be hard. And then if you want a real challenge, then you're going to go to Battle Tree or Battle Tower, Battle Frontier, Battle whatever that we have this gen. Like that's where you're going to go to have like a more quote-unquote challenging Pokemon experience.
Hey, but then I have to slog through a couple dozen hours of just shit gameplay. Thanks, Game Freak. Wow.
Yeah, it's
it's a good idea, but especially, I think how Game Freak sees it.
With Gen 8, by that point, I got burnt out. I'm even in Gen 7, I got burnt out by the end, and I'm like, I don't really want to do the post-game content at that point.
Yeah, I had no desire to do
Battle as opposed to something like ORAS or, I mean, any of the Gen 3 stuff, too. Like I wanted to do like the stuff was engaging enough to where I wanted to do the post game content. And I had a ton of fun with the post game content too.
Yeah, it seems like Sword and Shield really just is, it's just such a slog to get through from start to finish. Like it's constantly stopping you in your tracks because, you know, your rival wants to battle you, and it's not a particularly hard fight to beat him either, so it's, you know, it's really just annoying. And, you know, everything, you're constantly just trying to move forward and you're blasting through it, so it's because it's so easy until the game stops you and makes you do something, and then that's still easy, but now I'm annoyed because now I have to do this, and it's just, it's not been great. So adding difficulty to wake me up, you know, because I'm a gamer and I need challenge.
Oh yeah, yeah, real gamer over here.
So I can go gamer mode.
Mr. Nintendo only.
Yeah, I can go gamer mode on How or whatever his name is.
Hop or How?
I mean, one Hop. Hop.
Really Hop. Same, How. Same character, same Claire animation.
Yeah.
It's making sense with the difficulty, and I hear the complaints a lot where they're like, "Oh, like this series is for kids," and I understand that. But you don't have to make it brain dead, because the first four gens, even like I should say the first five gens, you know, were also designed for kids, but they weren't super handholdy. They weren't basically talking down to the player. You know, you could have some difficulties if you were a child, but like it wasn't it basically wasn't making fun of your intelligence.
It's insane.
But starting from Gen 6 and, you know, into 7 and 8, the games effectively feel like they think you're stupid. Like,
yeah.
You need every single thing to be told to you 1,000 times over. And then, like, oops, let's tell you 1,001 times just to make sure that you are reading that again. And, you know, it's like, oh, hey, you've got your attack moves. Just press A. You'll win. Just do it. Like, it's whatever. Who cares? It's like, at that point, why even bother making me play through the game? Just like, make me the champion already. What's the point?
The weird thing about it, too, is that most kids' attention spans nowadays are also shorter. Like,
yeah,
all media is streamed towards, like, really fast. Quick, really fast content.
Like, yeah, just like, binging it.
Binging content really quick, nothing too long and drawn out. And it's, yet they all the Pokemon games make you drag on with everything as well.
It feels like instead of them trying to make it so that kids can play it, they're making it so that even grandma can play it. You know, just like someone who's been who's like completely out of touch with like how games work.
Yeah, but grandma doesn't want to play it.
I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying that's what it feels like they designed it around. Like, I don't
agree with that. The way that they design it, it feels like it's talking down to you. Like, it thinks you're stupid.
It doesn't even feel like it's never played kids.
A video game before. Like, give them tutorials. Be like, hey, by the way, this is a D-pad. This is how you move. Like, pressing A is like your confirm button. Like, this is how you talk to people. I understand that. But like, the actual progress of the games and like the gameplay and the combat itself is so brain dead, and it's basically just saying like, hey, we think you're stupid, we don't think you can actually solve any kind of puzzle or any kind of combat encounter.
There's
so
no,
we're just
gonna, anymore.
Like,
yeah.
Just solve it for you. And it's like, at that point, why even bother? Like, people who have never played a video game before will play things where it's like a more casual experience, like mobile experience, whatever it is, but it's not talking down to them. It just has less complexity because they may not understand like a lot of like game theory of like how games work. But you don't have to pretend that they're stupid, because they're not. They just don't have a lot of game sense. Yep. So stop pretending that like everyone that plays Pokemon is stupid, Game Freak. It pisses me off.
Yo, kids are playing Fortnite nowadays. Like,
yeah,
that's not a forgiving game. You lose 99% of matches. Yeah, you can lose in seconds.
Yeah,
it's not like that's what kids like to play nowadays. Like, and they can't, you know, like press A on an RPG. Like, it doesn't make much sense at all. And the people who argue for that kind of style, like, I don't understand the point they're getting at here. Because kids nowadays, they're even, like, they're really intelligent now and intuitive when it comes to technology and games and things. Even more than, you know, like, we were when we were super young.
Yeah, it's definitely just, like, because kids are smart. Like, they're
extremely smart.
They're very underestimated, and it's... And even like if they were worried, like, what if it's too hard, then they're going to get discouraged and they're going to stop playing. We got to keep their attention because kids are distracted easily or whatever. It's like, I can't even wrap my head around like why not introduce a hard mode? And if you're going to do the bare minimum, you just do a hard mode and just make every freaking Pokemon have like, just give them +5 to their freaking level. That'd be anything, just something.
Yeah, totally.
It's like that. It would literally like, that's like, so... Like, I don't want hard mode to just be level scaling, but if like that would be something at least, and that does, I can't imagine that would be an incredibly hard feature to implement.
Yeah, would be for them.
Jeez. Would be for them.
I mean, yeah, basic level scaling. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. So in terms of, I mean, that's just in terms of difficulty. In terms of other mechanics to keep it interesting, I know, Tip, you're a big advocate for double battles.
Seriously,
the entire way. Yeah.
It's crazy that they introduced double battles in Gen 3, so just years and years ago. And double battles are still like this weird, like, unloved stepchild of Game Freak, where they just don't care about it. And you see the community adores double battles. Competitive battles are double battles, period, because it adds so much strategy. It adds so many tactics. It makes every mon that you can capture useful, because you can, you know, put them in tandem with other monsters and, like, combine their strengths and like delineate their weaknesses for like it gets covered. And it's so good. And there's like 3 double battles in every game, and then that's it. And you can do double battles online. It's like, great, Game Freak, why don't you understand that people love double battles? Just make every battle a double battle, and like, I would be like, no one would be complaining about it. I can't imagine anyone complaining that double battles being the default.
Yeah, you know what game did that? Pokemon Coliseum. Yeah. And that even with the like the minuscule like 79 Pokemon roster was still like people love Pokemon Coliseum and Pokemon like XD Gale of Darkness just because they're like different.
That adds it. I mean, you even think about like trainer battles, just generic trainer battles out in the game. Like that adds so much variety because now you're not just facing like, oh, this guy pulled out a Gyarados. It's like, you know, one person, even if you have like 12 different trainers that have a Gyarados, it's a, you're doing double battle. So it's a Gyarados and probably another Pokemon. So it almost changes, yeah. You know, that just changes the strategy and the battle and the mindset, you know, and it's not, doesn't feel like, I'm fighting my friggin' 12th Gyarados and I'm just going to use friggin' Thunderbolt on it because it's going to kill it.
It's going to get a static shock and then fizzle away.
But, you know, it's like, well, this Gyarados is paired up with a ground type, which will mess up my...
But it has Lightning Rod. Give it Lightning Rod. So now you can't just Thunderbolt it.
Yeah, something... Win. Like something like that.
You just so good.
You could do so much. You can do so many things,
and they don't use it.
Just don't. Yeah,
it's very sad.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like the most obvious like way of making of shaking things up of just being making it more interesting in general. Get rid of singles. Everything's a double battle.
Yeah.
I mean, we even like, I wouldn't say even dabbled with it so much, but you know, we have like the raids and stuff too, which are not quite the same thing, but it's four different Pokemon out on the field fighting against one giant Pokemon. Yeah. And that's in the, even like, that is infinitely more interesting than singles still, like at least to me. It's like literally anything, like just anything other than singles is, I'm like, please, yeah. I beg you.
That brings us to an interesting point. Let's compare Pokemon to other monster tamers. I know Tip recently played Nexomon.
Yeah, Nexomon Extinction specifically, which is, I'm not entirely sure if it's a remake or if it's an actual sequel to the original Nexomon. But yeah, I was playing through that just trying to get like some different perspectives and like different ideas for, you know, how other monster taming games function, and they actually had some pretty good ideas for difficulty and just typings in general, which I was impressed with. The first thing that they did is, and people have talked about this before too, when you get your starter, you can pick any type, so you're not, you know, locked into fire, water, grass. So you can get any type from the beginning, just from your starter. The world is really open from the beginning, which was neat. You can like go and visit towns that you don't even need to go to for hours and hours of gameplay. You can just go there, capture different type mons, and just like meet trainers and stuff like that. And you're allowed to do this because the levels are basically scaled to what you are. So it averages your team's level and then is like +/-2 or +/-3. So no matter where you go in the world, from the very beginning, they'll be around your level. And maybe you'll run into someone where their entire team happens to be the -2. So like they're easier. Maybe you run into someone where their entire team is like the +3, and all of a sudden, whole crap, like they have, you know, three or four different monsters and all of them have a 3-level advantage. So now you have to like actually use your tactics and use a strategy to defeat them instead of just, you know, brute forcing your way through. But my biggest complaint with it is it's still single battles. They did all of that to like change difficulty and to like allow more typings from the get-go. And it's still single battles, which is a huge, huge bummer.
Yeah, that is a bummer. But it definitely seems like you can build your own kind of adventure that way. Like you choose where you're going to go next. You're not like you're not railroaded into specific areas. And it's a really simple fix. The scaling is a super simple fix. Like it's just based upon whatever you are at the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that's necessarily a good fix or like a sophisticated fix.
It's just a simple fix that
it's
works.
Bare minimum of, yeah, you now nothing is out of your grasp. Like you won't go to an area where it's like, you know, the monster's level 60, but now you can go back to literally the first town and walk in the grass there. And they're like, you know, whatever around your level is. So it's not useless. It's still decent XP. Or if you want to capture something, you're like, oh, you forgot to grab something, you know, 20 hours ago, you can just go capture it and it's around your team's level. You can use them immediately, which is another issue that Pokemon kind of has, where you can capture something and it's 30 levels lower than you. Like, what are you going to do with that?
Especially in Gold, Silver, HeartGold, and Soul Silver. The post game where everything is around level 50, or no, so all the, sorry, all the gyms are around level 50, but for some reason, all the wild Pokemon are around like level 20, even at the end game. So yeah. Like your team composition is kind of stuck unless you want to spend hours upon hours grinding. So it removes situations like that. So you can actually do team building based upon like, you know, what you want to build your team as, instead of, you know, be like, man, I don't really want to put this person on my team because they're like 30 levels lower. And Nexomon has a ton of Pokemon. You said it was like 350-ish, right?
Yeah, it was 387, I believe. It was kind of an odd number.
It's still, that's a ton.
That's a huge amount. And I wasn't expecting that for like a smaller you know, indie title. And that's, they had a lot of variety in just designs and aesthetics that I was super surprised by. Every time I met something new, I was like, wow, like that's super cool. Which I feel a lot of the games that are like trying to copy Pokemon falter at, where they either have a lot of designs, but the designs feel kind of bargain brands, like they don't really feel all that good, or they go the opposite route and they have like a lot of really strong, consistent design, but they only have like 80 to 100 of them. It's like, yeah, that's, I like what you have, but it's not a whole lot.
It's good. Good bit of room. I'm a huge fan of the Shin Megami Tensei series, which is another monster tamer. That was the original series for that Persona was spinning off of. And so generally you capture and train demons and things, kind of like, you know, you capture and train Pokemon. However, like all the designs and stuff are based upon mythology and stuff like that. So you have, there is a ton of strong designs because they're all based upon, you know, existing things that people already find neat, like, you know, like Thor and you know, like Medusa and stuff like that.
And it's like global. They have things from like Native American mythology, the things from like Greek mythology, Egyptian mythology,
Japanese mythology, American, you know, like even like folk, like they have the freaking Mothman.
Oh my god, yeah.
Glorious Mothman. And they're all really fun designs and stuff. And they're all pretty unique. And so something else that it does is that it's you, the character, and all the monsters, and like three monsters you have on the field against the enemy team. And so the enemy team could be 1 to 4 people or one big old boss monster. So a lot of the fights feel different. It's, you're not always going against, like in Pokemon, like a 1-on-1 fight or a 2v2 fight. It could be your 4 people against one giant boss or against someone that spawns smaller minions. You have to kind of crowd control them. So there's a lot more variety in terms of the different types of battles you can have. And it doesn't really get stale, in my opinion.
Right. Isn't that?
You also just can have like lots of, you know, again, bringing back the double battle thing is
strategies.
Yeah.
Strategies and full teams of different, you know.
Exactly. If one of the biggest examples in the Shin Megami Tensei series is one of the first major fights in Nocturne SMT3 is the Matador. And he does generally wind based attacks, and he also like increases his agility really high. And you'll get sweeped if you don't like build a team composition around him. So you can do things where you'll have demons that like absorb wind. And stuff, and that'll completely like ruin his strategy against you. And so that's just one of the early fights that like kind of like teaches you how to like, you know, form strategies based upon a fight instead of, you know, like brute forcing your way through everything based upon a really simple type advantage. Like normally in Pokemon you'll have 6 Pokemon generally kind of varying types. They throw out a fire type, man, when am I gonna use, you know, like a water type probably. Really simple stuff like that.
Yeah.
Instead of preparing a team around a fight.
Yeah. Definitely. I just like the variety of it. Just having, you can have multiples. You could be fighting one really strong enemy, or you could be fighting a bunch of weaker enemies, or a bunch of really strong enemies, or, you know, and you have, every encounter is something a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The encounters could actually be a little bit different, even though I said it's only singles, for Nexomon Extinction as well. I kind of forgot to mention, but the they don't have gyms, but they have like boss monsters, and the boss monsters are essentially just really, really big, you know, Nexomon, and they have, you know, huge inflated stats, you know, a huge pull of health. So like you have your six monsters to go against it, but you know, it's definitely, it feels like it's a boss battle, not just like an inflated difficulty fight, which was cool. You're kind of like fighting the legendaries of Pokemon, but like it was actually a fight, not just you, you know, winning.
Yeah, the only thing that came close to that was like the Totem Pokemon.
Yeah.
Which I did enjoy Totem Pokemon a lot.
Yeah, those do feel like boss fights. It's true.
Yeah, they're fun because they're asymmetrical.
Yeah,
which I like. And any asymmetrical fight in Pokemon it was really unique. Because most of the time you're just fighting against another person with mons of their own, of a similar level, if not probably lower.
I was gonna say it's generally lower.
Almost always lower.
Almost always lower, unless you're purposefully swapping out things every quarter of a second.
Yeah.
So Ryan, what have you played? I know you've played a monster.
Played the OG thing. Monster Hunter Stories on the 3DS.
Definitely well known.
Yeah. Everyone knows this one. I have not played this game in a long time, but one of the things this is not a direction I would want to see Pokemon go in, but it is still interesting. And what I think about how the combat works is that you have more than one thing out in the field, but it's your hunter and your monster, and you control your hunter in combat, and your monster kind of just does whatever it wants. And so your strategy kind of revolves around your hunter like fighting and actually, you know, the strategy behind that. And you have to pull out a monster that is hopefully going to do what you want it to do. So
do they have obedience mechanics?
You can like implement certain, you can do certain things to, you know, like combo moves or like mount the monster and like do a more powerful, like friendship attack and stuff like that. My friends are my power. It also like has some interesting things of like, you can, it's Monster Hunter. So in the base Monster Hunter games, you attack certain parts and do certain things. You can break, you know, it's pieces apart. You do that in this game too. You can target different parts of the monster, which is like interesting. That sounds like it would be insanely complicated to do for 900 Pokemon, so I wouldn't really recommend that. But I don't even really have like a thing that I think that Monster Hunter does that I would bring into Pokemon, but it still like brings up the point of they've spiced it up in ways of like, you fight this monster and there's a strategy, because you have to, you target a monster's part, and like depending on like maybe the attack that the other monster is going to do, maybe you're not going to do as much damage to that part because it's doing a wing attack, so you're, you know, attacking its wing, and that's going to end badly. But just those kind of like elements that make you have to like think more than just pressing A to win, and like also switching out your monster is important, because your monster will obviously not, you know, screw you over terribly, but you want to try to pull out a monster.
It's not going to hurt you.
It's not going to turn around and start hitting you, even though it is Monster Hunter. But it's very interesting. It's Monster Tamer, and it's super cool because it has like all the monsters from Monster Hunter. Like I played through that game and I was constantly surprised. I'm like, oh man, they brought in that monster. I thought that we were never going to even see that thing ever again. So it brought a lot of elements like that I enjoyed. And it does also have like the advantage and disadvantage, but it's, you know, monsters have weaknesses to elements like fire and water and electric. But it's not quite, it's a little more simpler than Pokemon. There's also, I don't remember what it quite is, but it's almost like a Fire Emblem-esque like rock, paper, scissors mechanic on top of that as well. So you have like a monster might do like one type of attack and you do a different type of attack. And depending on like what type of attack you do, you'll have like a head-on battle and, you know, rock, paper, scissors, which one is going to win.
So I didn't play Stories, but I played the demo because I was intrigued by it. Wasn't it like power, technique, and speed? So like,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been
like
a while.
Power moves beat technique, and like technique beats speed, and like speed beats power. But if like you use the same type, so like power versus power, you have like that head-to-head clash thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was neat. It was really cinematic too, which it was just a joy to like watch the battle go on.
Yeah, and watching like some of the stuff from Stories too, like you can like they have so much cinematic flair in a lot of their animations, which a lot of people complain about Pokemon not having a lot of cinematic flair in their animation. And I famously just declared that I turned off the move animations for Z moves because I think they're lame and boring and too long. But I think it's all like, it just depends on like how quickly, like how much time it takes, how good it feels to pull it off. Is there like good, you know, you build up to do a move and then you pay it off in a satisfying way. Like, and are they even fun to watch? That's the problem. Pokemon move animations aren't fun to watch most of the time. Like they're just, you know, very generic.
The infamous double kick from Squirbunny that they've highlighted.
Yeah, like I feel like I understand that you have 900 Pokemon and it's hard to animate like moves for all of them. But man, like something to like spice up the battles and the flair and give them something.
I mean,
Monster Hunter Stories is out here doing it and they're not making $1 billion like Pokemon is. So what the hell?
Yeah, the problem, the Pokemon animations are, this argument's been done to death. So I don't want to overdo it, but like it's like the bare minimum of an animation, really.
I'll say, like, I remember one point people were memeing on Tailwaggle, like the Pokemon turns around and wiggles his butt and that's Tailwaggle. I'm like, look, I don't care about Tailwaggle. I never use Tailwaggle. You want to take some of the like lame moves from like early games?
Like I know you don't use it because it's not Tailwaggle, it's Tailwag.
Yeah,
Tailwhip. Tailwag.
Or Tail Whip.
Is it Tail Whip? It
Tail Whip, you dunce.
God, we're both stupid.
Wow, you don't use it either, do you?
Clearly not. I just knew it wasn't Waggle.
So, like, if they want to, like, take some of those lesser used moves because they're early game
or whatever, low rank is what I like to call them.
Low rank, low tier, bottom of the barrel moves, fine. But make Shadow Ball look cool. Every ghost type has Shadow Ball. Make Shadow Ball cool, please. Like, come on. Make Flamethrower cool.
Well, I think they just need to make the generic animations for the Pokemon something better. Like, if they're using a special move, make them do something special. Like if Charizard's going to use a Flamethrower attack or, like, a Fire Blast attack, they can use the same animation. But he has to, like, actually make him look like he's, like trying to shoot something out of his mouth or something. Normally it's something that he would probably do. Or a physical attack, make him like hit his wing or something like that. You know, like they can make the animations per category.
Oh, animations per category?
Something like that.
The perfect segue. So Digimon, okay?
Everyone's favorite
catching franchise.
Digimon!
So Cyber Sleuth came out, what was that, 2016, 2017? And I enjoyed the hell out of that game.
Looked fun,
but the cool thing about it, speaking of like the animations and like different categories, basically every Digimon in the game has a special move and they have a special animation for their unique move. So if you ever see that unique move, it always does that special animation and it's animated to that Digimon. Like it looks like they're doing the cool thing, but if they're not doing their own special move, you know, there's like other generic, like electric type moves and fire type moves, things like that. Each Digimon has like three or four different animations that fits whatever the move is. So if it's like a physical type move and they have claws, they'll slash. If it's like a breath type move and like it's like a fire breath, they open up their mouth and the fire comes out. They're not like super involved, but they're believable enough where like you can have all six of your Digimon know the same electric move and all six of them will actually cast that electric move in different ways that like fit their character model. And it wasn't really like super involved animations, but every single time I would use any of the moves like during the fights, I wasn't like my eyes weren't glazing over because like they were still, it matched their movements and it matched like what the Digimon itself looks like, what they would do, which I loved because Pokemon doesn't do that.
That's what Pokemon Stadium did. Because all the Pokemons they have kind of like example animations and they use them for like kind of different things and they're all pretty believable.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you'll get some that, you know, obviously, you know, look out of place, but it definitely looks more interesting than what we got now.
Can't really be worse.
It can't be worse, yeah. Battle Revolution was fantastic.
Wasn't there like a meme at one point of like Gigantamax Charizard or whatever? He used his flamethrower, but like it's not attached to his mouth. It like shoots like over his head or something.
Oh,
like
I haven't seen that. Any sense. That's funny. I haven't seen that.
It's just, I might be thinking of something else, but I remember there being something where it's like some Pokemon use flamethrower and it's like you could have just had that come out of its mouth and you just didn't. Just decided to have it come out of its belly button or something weird.
I think it was its stomach. I think the flamethrower came out of its stomach because I remember seeing that. It was like a gift that people were like passing around, like, yeah, look at these idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem I have with Sword and Shield is that it feels like for the amount of money those games make, they're doing like the bare minimum effort.
Bare minimum. It's crazy how bargain bin that game feels.
And what drives me nuts too, and like this is very much so a me preference, and maybe every other Pokemon fan on the planet is going to be like, what? No, I would never. Is these Pokemon camps, Pokemon and me, Pokemon, pet your Pokemon, hang out with it at camp. You know, they spend all this like that's like 12 more animations they give these Pokemon. And guess what? I barely see those for the 6 Pokemon that I have on my team, and I'm never going to see those animations for any other Pokemon that I never use because I never use camp. But like I see like how much time it must go into like mechanics like that, and I'm just like, if you just took that out, took that thing that I personally never use out, and you put budget for that somewhere else, maybe we'd have something. But
yeah. I can't imagine the majority of people spend most of their time in the Pokemon camp. That'd be very hard to believe. I know like some people might, you know, use it a lot, but like,
and it's cool to see them and interact with them.
I know, but the majority of the game is going to be, you're going to be getting through the story mode. Obviously.
Yeah. I legit used Pokemon camp like one time. And then I was like, all right, well, the novelty of that is over.
I personally don't use it. I get the novelty of it, but I mean, I don't use it, but I'm not going to like, I don't want to discredit it because I don't use it, but I can't, like the proportion of you seeing your Pokemon out in the battlefield compared to that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that'd be anywhere close to the time you spend in the camp.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even remember camp, but I remember when Pokemon and Me came out and like you actually, like I remember using that a couple of times because like it,
I did it to get the hearts
up. Pokemon. Yeah, your hearts
because
go
then
up
they
and
would
just become more broken, and the game would come even easier.
But, then you finally brought it up though. Yeah, the freaking hearts, they make your Pokemon. What do they do? They make
they'll survive hits. And yeah,
on top of the game being, you know, already a cakewalk. Like, why do they add even more easier mechanics? And like I'd be okay if they kept that in, but up the difficulty a little bit.
Yeah,
that way, but like anyways, it gives you a way to, you know, level out the playing field if you're having trouble. But there's no way you would need that now.
No, not at all.
Anyways, the point I was making with that was that Pokemon and Me, you like, I pet my Gengar and he does an animation. All right,
that's fine.
My animation.
That's fine.
I pet him again. He has a second animation. He has two happy animations, like one for when I pet him and one when I feed him a berry. He also has an animation for eating a berry. He also has like an animation when I pet him
in a spot right.
He doesn't like. And I'm like, they have all of these all these animations for these Pokemon and Pokemon and Me. I'm going to use it on 6 Pokemon that I have in my team. I'm never going to see it for the other 893 Pokemon that exist. They could have put that anywhere else.
That's a great point. That's a huge point right there.
Hang on. If they already had those animations, why aren't those animations in the battles themselves?
Well, no one's using a happy attack.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, let's say your Gengar gets a critical hit. Why doesn't he like smile and do his happy animation as if like you
That'd
just
pet
cool. him? He should be happy that he got the crit. Or like if something misses and he like does a teasing animation, like why isn't that in there?
That's what they do in us. Like, that's what they do at Stadium.
Yeah, even just like an idol, like he just does that if you're just standing there for too long, then he does like a little, like he does his happy chuckle or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Gengar will sometimes in Stadium, he'll stick his tongue out and like at you like, eh.
Yeah.
It's cool.
If I've learned anything from our conversation, it's that Grep here is a Pokemon Stadium stan.
it's so sick. Because if they can just, you know, afford the budget to get those kind of animations.
Can they afford the budget?
They can. Yeah,
it's the most profitable media franchise on the planet.
Can you pull up
by a long shot, by the way?
Can you pull up the most sold Switch games right now? Because if you compare
Mario Kart, but yes.
The biggest thing that gets me is that you can compare the highest selling games. You compare Pokemon Sword and Shield to Breath of the Wild and Odyssey, and you can just see it's so easy to see the level of quality.
All right,
difference.
Here's the top five. Okay.
Okay.
We'll do top 10. So Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, then Animal Crossing New Horizons, then Smash Bros. Ultimate. It's then Breath of the Wild. At number five is Pokemon Sword and Shield. Number six is Mario Odyssey. Number seven, Super Mario Party. Wow, that's actually really surprising.
Number eight is
Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. Nine is Splatoon 2. And then 10 is New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe.
So let's say, I just want to take Odyssey and Breath of the Wild. Like both two other IPs that are huge in Nintendo. Like, and just look at the quality. Like, the way like Mario moves and stuff in Odyssey is so clean. All the dudes have little animations and things, and like all the worlds are so super finely detailed and all the textures are beautiful. Breath of the Wild is a huge open world, lots of stuff to do. I mean, you guys agree with me, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what people were saying. Like when Sword and Shield was first announced and first showed off, like for its gameplay and like the graphics and animations and everything, people were like, how is it every game or every Nintendo first party franchise that's released on the Switch so far has shown off like some of the best content they've ever done in the 30 years that franchise has existed. And then you see Sword and Shield, and it's like, this is some of the worst low effort stuff they've done ever.
It's like bare minimum.
Comparing them side by side is just crazy.
Like, I mean, obviously it's a visual upgrade from Sun and Moon. It's coming from like a 3DS to a home console. I mean, and some of the camera mechanics, like, yeah, it's like marginally better, and that's like in quotes. The Game Freak, I feel like just Game Freak just doesn't put out.
That's copies sold of Sword and Shield, but Sword and Shield also sells like Pokemon cards and anime.
They sell a ton more merch.
So
I can't even imagine how much Score Bunny merch has been sold.
I mean, we're not selling like a whole lot of Mario Kart figures like that. Like Mario Kart sales are where most of its profits come from. So Sword and Shield is the fifth best selling Switch game. And, you know, they make all this money off of all this other Pokemon stuff that they're selling, which all spawns from these games. Like, so it's frustrating to see them be like, well, we just need to churn out a game and have some solid Pokemon designs so we can draw some cool cards and people will buy those.
Yeah, that's what it feels like for sure. It's just the bare minimum.
That's why I was so surprised by Z-moves. I'm like, you can't make a Z-move into a plushie.
How many like action figures do you see of Megas besides Lucario?
I mean, I have a Mega Gengar plushie.
Never mind.
I mean, of course
you're right.
Yeah,
my bad. You've just proved the point, I guess. So
wait a second. Yeah, you're the problem, Ryan. Stop buying the merch.
Freaking merch.
Wait a second. Hang on. If I look to my left, I have a Poliwhirl plush and a Squirtle plush. Hang on a second.
I got a Mudkip one out there. I'm also
part of the problem.
Yeah,
we're all the problem. Oh no. Wait, do we actually like Pokemon, guys?
Ironic. The problem is we like Pokemon a lot is the problem, and we want it to do well.
And it's consistently shown it will not get better.
It's consistently showing that it's being hamstringed by Game Freak or whoever's making the Pokemon company, whoever's making these decisions to not, you know, allocate resources or whatever they're doing. Invest in it. Yeah. Because it's making so much money with such a little effort that they're not gonna do it. And like the fact that Sword and Shield sold so well, and I'm part of the problem because I bought Sword.
Fool.
Yeah, I know I'm a fool, but you know, like I wanted to see it and I wanted to, you know, talk about it. It was the first console Pokemon game, which is you know,
no, it wasn't, because that was Let's Go.
Yeah, okay.
Shut the heck up.
Anyway. it has so much potential. And they can't do anything with it.
It showed its potential for, you know,
it did.
Five generations.
when it, especially when it was on limited handhelds. I mean, they pushed the handhelds, you know, to their limits essentially.
And, I mean, absolutely to their limits, especially for Gens 1 and 2. Like,
which is that's why are
the issues persisted.
Yeah, and 3 it used the Game Boy Advance extremely well.
Yeah, so.
It's ironic that it pushed the handhelds to its limit and barely scratches the surface once it hits console.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could see, like, I mean, even with the 3D Pokemon, it like the frame rate was dipping so hard on a lot of those. And I think that might have just been an engine issue, because I feel like it could have easily ran a 3D Pokemon game.
I think so.
Like, I played Persona Q. Persona Q didn't have performance issues.
Look, hang on. It got Doom Eternal to work on the Switch. So freaking Game Freak can get Sorted Shield to work on the Switch. Doom freaking Eternal works on the Switch. I can't stress that enough.
It's pretty insane.
And yeah, they can't get, you know, 2 canned animations for Pikachu to work. Great.
Yeah. It's frustrating. But maybe Arceus will fix everything.
Arceus looks so bad though.
But like, it's also not really a mainline game.
That's made by Game Freak though, isn't it?
I think I remember them saying that was going to be like the future Pokemon.
It's not.
Arceus is the next step.
It's not.
They very specifically said the opposite of that.
Oh, I thought I read.
Like, they very specifically said this isn't like a mainline game. This is like a new direction for the series, which I guess is kind of what you just said. But like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not like they're changing the entire series to be like that. It's more like.
Oh, that's how I interpreted it.
Oh, no.
They were going to be changing it.
I can't believe they had the gall to show that trailer, though.
The trailer was one of the worst trailers I've ever seen.
Literally, the Pokemon were moving at literally like 2 frames per second. It was a barren wasteland.
There was grass.
There was grass.
And clouds, and it was running at 4 frames per second.
It looked so bad, and people are like blinded by the fact that it's an open world Breath of the Wild looking Pokemon game. Like, does not automatically make it good.
Great, but like, I can sit on a random hill in Hyrule in Breath of the Wild and the game isn't chugging at 4 frames per second. I can see the Moblins like running around, and they're actually like, you know, running around at, you know, 30 frames per second, whatever.
They have sleep cycles and they have entire like AI cycles.
Yeah.
Where they like live.
That dude.
See like the divine beasts like far off in the background and they're moving.
Yo, seeing the dragons?
Yeah.
And the dragons.
That's so cool.
Yeah, you can see the dragons from like miles away. Super.
I'm like, holy crap, what's that?
Yeah, and they were the giant bird crouching down, you know, in grass 10 feet away from whatever Pokemon that was in the trailer. And it was like the grass was clipping through everything. The Pokemon was like moving at like 3 frames per second. The clouds like looked like the baby's first Unity clouds. It was crazy. Screw that trailer.
It was kind of an insult, I feel.
It was. And I can't believe that people thought that defend was fine. There are people that are still defending it. They're like, oh, well, that was like early game footage. No, it's not. The game comes out in like 4 months. Are you kidding me?
The problem is with a lot of the fan base is that they like the Pokemon IP, but they're not like it. I mean, I guess they're satisfied with if it has Pokemon in it, they're satisfied. And they're not wrong for thinking that, but it's keeping the franchise down so much when everybody accepts that. When Game Freak can pump out literally anything, and it meet the bar for them. So I mean, because Pokemon, I think we can all agree that like the designs are like a lot of the designs are fantastic. Like, and we love all the cutesy charm of it, love the world of it, stuff like that. The whole IP is fantastic.
But like 900 designs, man, 900 designs across all the games, and of those 900. You could say that like probably like 90% of them, 95% of them appeal to basically everyone on the planet. Like they're so consistently good, and they should not be. Like, imagine developing anything for anything where you have 900 designs and the vast majority of people are like, hey, I like those.
Their art team kills it. It's so good.
You know what? I take that back. Their art team kills it. Their sound team kills it. Yep. Their like orchestration for everything is so good, and it's squandered on these games. The art teams and the sound teams should feel insulted by it. They're basically absolute perfections being squandered in these games.
Yeah, even like character designs and stuff are usually pretty solid, especially in Sword and Shield, there were like a lot of characters that I remember.
Gym leaders are always pretty darn good.
Liked. I know, have great I was designs. That I,
yeah.
I don't remember any of the characters from Gen 6, but maybe there was just a mess up there. But
yeah.
But like, it is true. Like every, you know, I was saying as well, like the towns in Sword and Shield, while barren and nothing, there's nothing to do in them, a lot of them are designed.
They look good.
Really cool. And
they're gorgeous. The fairy ways. Town, the yeah. dark town, like the punk town and everything. It's like the back alleyways. It all yeah. looks so good.
It's all these great elements that have been squandered by a mechanically barren game.
Yeah.
So, even, I mean, Pokemon's been building itself up for like, you know, ever. Like, so it's got like, it's, you know, its battles and stuff are solid and they have like move sets and move pools and abilities and that's all there, but they don't
do anything
to tie it together or make the story interesting or make it, you know, challenging and fun. It's just get to the end and then you can do battle tree if you're really feeling it and maybe that'll be a little harder.
Yeah, they have the elements. They have the elements in the games already for abilities, dual typing, so, EVs like, and IVs, like, you know, double battles. They have all these elements there. If you just put them all together, that's a good combat system. Like there's so many strategies. There's so many tactics you can utilize and the games don't use any of it whatsoever.
And then online usually gets reduced down to a meta though too. So yeah. Even if you try a lot of these strategies, which are still fine in practice, like, and they would probably like, if the game was centered around it, you could probably get through the game with them and it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the meta is so hamstrung. You see like the same 10 to 12 Pokemon in everything. You'll get sweep by them like 100%. Like it's an extremely unbalanced kind of meta, which is why they have the tiers for a lot of professional play.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, yeah, it's
a little bit different professional play.
And it's so funny to me because, you know, people talk about Pokemon being so like simple, but it's like we have things like IVs and EVs and they don't, up until recently, those like Game Freak pretended like those didn't exist. They were just in the game. And, you know, it was like Pokemon could be an extremely simple experience, or you can make it a complicated experience if you want to get competitive. So it's like,
which is a great philosophy.
Yeah,
easy to pick up, hard to master.
Yeah, so they could absolutely apply that to the story and the actual game prior to you know the journey to getting to the end game and getting to starting to build your team and doing PvP. They could make that interesting and challenging, and even teach us about the game as we're doing it. Like you do double battles and like, hey, check out these two trainers. They're going to do something interesting and make you rethink how maybe you use this move in the future. Or whatever.
No, they but give they you Plusle and Minun.
Here's Plusle and Minun. They're both going to use Thunderbolt on your ground
type. They're not going to use Helping Hand or anything. Like, it doesn't matter if they use Helping Hand. They're so weak. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's just, it is, it's all there. And they just don't do it, I feel like. I mean, I say they just don't do it. That's obviously easier said than done. But Game Freak also makes a bajillion dollars on every Pokemon game they make. So
I really want to know how the fund allocation goes. Like, what are their deadlines? Where does the money go?
It's insane. I would say it's just pocketed. It's just profits.
It's got to be just pocketed.
I mean, what else would they use it on? And it's the funny thing is, like, we've talked about, you know, these different franchises or these different games that like utilize different things. Like the SMT franchise is beloved. It's more of a cult classic, although I mean, now it's going into the mainstream, but they don't make, you know, billions of dollars. No, and they still have,
they make,
you know,
nothing. Essentially,
they still have like really solid games, solid narratives, solid combat mechanics. And you have like Monster Hunter Stories. Capcom doesn't make billions of dollars on Monster Hunter Stories, but it has solid combat mechanics, solid like animations, like a solid narrative. Freaking Digimon doesn't make billions of dollars, and Cyber Story has like more content in the first 5 hours of that game than like the entirety of Gen 8.
The problem is
it's crazy.
Pokemon's only like real competitors like Digimon, because Shin Megami Tensei, that's geared towards a more mature audience generally.
Yeah,
or like an edgier audience, I guess. And then like even like, you know, Temtem and Nexomon, those are like smaller indie titles essentially.
Oh, you know what? We actually didn't really talk about Temtem that much.
It got a lot of buzz.
It's a pretty different experience just because it's like the MMO, it's online. You know what? Hang on. So my favorite thing about Temtem, I'm just gonna ignore that entire thought that I just had, because it's not important. So Temtem is this cool thing. The Pokemon games in general are very solitary experiences. It's you go on your journey, you know, you're going to become the grand champion, blah, 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 whatever. And there's really no multiplayer component until you either start trading or you start doing online battles and trying to get, like, you know, more professional type mindsets of building your team. Temtem has a really cool thing because all of their battles are double battles, which is the smartest thing they ever did. And because all their battles are double battles, you can play co-op with a friend the entire game. You both get to pick three, and you have one out on the team, and you just strategize with each other and play co-op the entire game.
Yeah,
which is brilliant.
That's kind of like what Let's Go did, but the problem with Let's Go is that you had a second person on the screen the entire time, and any battle you entered, whether it's single or double, you had a second Pokemon, so you were 2v1ing the entire game if you had co-op. It was it was weird. Like, I mean, it was still fun. I played with my wife, but I mean, that just, it literally was just, you just go through the game. I mean, there's literally negative challenge. Like, I know we were talking about difficulty earlier, but like, that's just a whole new level of nothing. And I think that's, I don't know. I feel like it's a missed opportunity. Like, if they added that feature to all the games, I think it'd be a lot of fun where you can have a second person on screen, but make all the battles double battle. Or something.
Yeah, if we had the games be double battles, period.
Or yeah, like, that would
have then you could a friend allow that. Like, we could invite like one so of us fun. To someone else's game, be like, hey, like, do you want to just like go to this region and like play for a bit? Like, sure, why not? Like, you could just do that, and that would be so much fun.
Yeah,
they do that. They can do that in Battle Tree or whatever.
You can, which is at the very end. Cool. Of the game.
That's the very end.
That's a cool,
and it's a lot of fun. I've done it before with.
Yeah, because we did it. We did it back. You know, for Sun and Moon.
That's an extremely cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Do more stuff like that.
Just utilize that more. Like, they already have these systems. They've done these systems before. Just utilize them in any degree. And they don't.
And here we are.
They basically already have the fixes. They've already developed their fixes or have done them in the past.
It's all there.
And they just don't use any of it.
Like, if you took the best things from each generation, it would be like, it'd be just about right.
Yeah.
Minus like maybe some scaling issues. I don't know.
Yeah, man. And we're talking about like trying, like, kids' attention spans and stuff too. I feel like double battles just go faster than singles would too. So it's like easier to pick up, do a quick double battle, and then, you know, move on to something else.
Yeah, especially if they have more mons towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
Just, man, I don't know. Double it. We all think doubles are the obvious choice, and it makes sense. And I'm sure a lot of people agree with that. And Nintendo, Game Freak's not really Nintendo, but Nintendo seems to like to do anything that we think is a good idea. They'll do the opposite. But I don't know. Yeah, double battles seems like such a double battles and level scaling, and you got something.
Yeah.
So the two easiest things they could do.
The two easiest things ever.
And they don't. I mean,
it's very doubles. Simple steps. Yeah. They don't even need doubles. To do anything drastic to the formula.
Yeah. Everything else is fine.
You see, like, kids like having smaller attention spans, or like maybe they're worried that like they wouldn't get an audience. I think having that co-op mechanic of where, like, they can invite a friend, I think that would get people to care about it even more, because wouldn't lose attention if you have a friend with you and you're like playing through it and like you're having an adventure together. Because why do you think like Fortnite or Minecraft or like any of these other like big games for kids like are important? Because they can play with their friends. They can invite everyone, you know, to a Discord server, like, you know, to an Xbox chat or whatever, and like they can play together and just have fun. And you could do that with Pokemon then. Just have a friend and just start playing with them, and they'll be like, oh, hey, like, you really like doing water types, I really like doing ghost types. We can just smash those together and like just start playing with that. Like, you just do that.
Yeah.
They'd get the engagement, they'd get the audience that they want, and they wouldn't get bored of it because they're playing with a friend.
It makes sense. And it could, like, you know, bump up itself to like a super hyper cult thing too. Like Fortnite and all the battle royals have.
Yeah, they could even do. Yeah, you could just like, if you did it like online, we're gonna have to like be next to someone, like have almost like a lobby type system. You could even do like on Twitch or something, like be like, hey, I'm a streamer, I like Pokemon, I'm going to be picking one lucky person today, and I'm gonna be playing, you know, 10 battles with them, and then like the next person I play another 10 battles with. Like, you could engage your viewers like that, and like I feel like Game Freak would kill to have that kind of engagement.
They kind of do that with streaming. The raid battles, because you can play with other people on raid battles, right?
Yeah, raid battles. They actually introduced in the final DLC, they introduced the raid adventures, which is some of the most fun that I've had in like multiplayer Pokemon ever. Like, do more of that, please. Like that. And I saw, and when that came out, like I saw YouTubers doing stuff like that. They were getting together with their friends or other YouTubers, and they were doing, you know, adventure raids together. It was exciting. It was fun.
Yeah, that's cool. So maybe they are slightly learning.
It just proves my point then. Yeah, I didn't know that existed.
I mean, the adventure raids aren't like wandering around the overworld, but I'm not gonna sit here and explain it, would take too long, but it is like that idea of you do a couple of battles and you're building, and you got to get to the end, and then there's a legendary at the end, and that's how you start getting all the legendaries in this game, is you find a random legendary at the end of these adventure raids.
That's cool.
And, depending on how you got through the previous stuff, the previous couple battles, that legendary could very well like kick your ass. Like, you could straight up. Me and Alex, we played that quite a bit at one point, and we lost to like three different legendaries. We were actually having a hard time, and I was like, wow, this is actually really interesting, and I have to think about stuff. Like, this is crazy. Like, more of this, please.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, so maybe they are. So, I mean, we can hope, hopefully, for the next big title, they start adding more stuff like that.
The DLC has my fingers just a little bit crossed that maybe we'll get somewhere.
Well, we won't see it for a bit because of the remake and then Arceus. So whatever the next mainline game is, which will probably be next November-ish, because they need to do it yearly.
Yeah, hopefully they just add more to the engine, make it look better. I mean, I feel like they can use the same engine, but, you know. So save time on that engine, you know.
Yeah.
Flesh out all the small things.
Get rid of Dynamax. Although I will say the raids, they were called Dynamax raids. That was like the only good thing Dynamax brought to the table was the raids. But we can still do raids and not have to call it Dynamax.
Yeah.
But keep the raids. Those are good. Those are fun.
All right. So yeah, I mean, those were our thoughts. You guys have anything else you want to talk about, or we're going to extend this?
I did want to kind of just say, because we were talking about Pokemon getting old and stale, I think that they should, if they want to like try to shake things up, my thought was almost, instead of keeping the tradition of 8 gyms or 8 somethings, which leads to you fighting the champion, and then you, like, what if we could still keep the gyms, so people that like that stuff are happy. But they're almost like how contests were in Gen 3 and 4, where you could just skip them entirely. Like, you don't have to do the gyms. That's like almost like a side mission. And the main game is a big, exciting adventure about an evil team or a group of bad guys or a legendary or something like that. And then you can choose to do the gyms as you go along, but it's actually more about this adventure you're going on to stop something. You know, your antagonist, and maybe after you're done, then you're like, well, I'm gonna go do all the gyms now, or maybe not, because you don't feel like it. that was kind of my, like, because we keep talking about how, you know, every gen we have the same thing, and I appreciate Gen 7 for shaking things up with their 8 things, but we still had 8 things that we had to do, and that led to us fighting an Elite Four and a champion. So what if you kept We keep that, so we still have it, but it's optional.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. I didn't think about flipping that on its head, kind of making the gyms optional, but like the cool adventure story thing not optional, and then focusing more time on that.
Yeah, because it always, I feel like that also just ruins, maybe not necessarily, it doesn't always ruin the pacing, but sometimes you're on this big exciting adventure and you're getting to the climax and oh boy, I can't wait to find out what happens next. But before you do that, you got to fight the seventh gem. And it's like, oh my God, I don't feel like doing this right now. I want to go to do the other thing though. Like it's just.
I'm usually the opposite where I've been plowing through these gems. I'm like, man, can't wait to see what the next gym is. And then I get sidetracked by like a half-baked story, especially with a lot of the more recent ones.
Well, maybe if freaking their stories team... were also super interesting.
Yeah, I know if they were. Team Yell sucks.
Team Yell was so bad.
Chairman Rose.
That wasn't even a team.
Boring. It's not even, a team.
They didn't even have a leader. Marnie was like not even really their leader.
She was three, the fact they didn't even give them more than one male and female model. So it's just the same like, ugly looking thumb looking dude.
It was just the worst. I don't know what they're I can't even wrap my head
around
Team
really
Yell. It was
bad.
So silly. Like just the most uninteresting.
I mean Team Flair were all in like suits, which it still looked bad. And then like Team Skull all had like face masks and like their own like gangster outfits on. But like you could like possibly think that they were different people. Team Yell, they're just the same dude and chick. Just
like one like, really fat guy.
It's so weird looking.
Yeah. I honestly forget Team Yell even exists when I'm thinking about each gen and their team. I'm like, and then Gen 8 had
it was essentially it wasn't even team, it was Team Yell, but like essentially Chairman Rose was like by himself, essentially.
Yeah.
With like his little group of people.
Yeah, straight up. That was but you know, if we have an interesting story, then
that would solve that issue. That like Gen 3 was pretty good. So
I guess this fits your odd numbered games being better theory, because I would say that 3, 5, and 7 have the most interesting narratives. Pacing issues aside for 7.
Even 3, 5, and 7. Fine. It's just like a group of people who want to capture the Pokemon in this new Pokemon universe that you're introduced to. I think that's fine.
They're just criminals. They're just trying to make a buck.
Gen 2 is like the remains of Team Rocket. It's really bad.
Gen 2's story sucks.
It's extremely bad.
Maybe it is. I guess one, we're going to keep that. Like 1, 3, 5, and 7 are the ones that have had the more interesting narratives, but they still have their issues. And so if they actually fix those issues and like had something that was interesting the entire way throughout, you wouldn't feel like you're being sidetracked from like you trying to be the champion.
Yeah.
You'd actually be like, man, I like this adventure. Now, you know, if I feel like it, I'll go to the gyms and become the champion and do what you've always done in every other Pokemon game ever.
Yeah. And contests were cool. I thought they were different. At least like your Pokemon had another purpose besides just battle machines.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. And so you could have like, you know, like a Skitty or like a freaking Wurmple and them be good at contests. They wouldn't be obsolete at the end of the game. You could do stuff with them.
Yeah, I like the idea. I had a hard time getting in the contest. I just didn't find them as fun and interesting, but luckily they were optional. I didn't have to do them.
I did most of them.
But I do like having those kind of alternate things that any Pokemon can do. It's not because, well, your Pokemon has a really low attack stat. They're going to be useless at this. It's like, no, that's not the point. You're doing something else. While still making it like more interesting than Pokemon Camp, because that's just hanging out with your Pokemon. Contests were still like a competition of some sort that you got a reward and you had a goal of getting all of them and stuff like that.
When's the last time they had the contests?
Gen 4. I'm curious to see if they bring them back for the Gen 4 remake.
Well, yeah, sure,
they probably already talked about it and I just wasn't paying
attention. It looks like a one-to-one remake.
I think it is, yeah.
So I don't know how they, like the towns all look exactly the same and stuff.
Yeah, so Gen 4.
Unless they leave it a barren lot.
That'd be funny.
just a blank spot. Empty lot. It's an abandoned warehouse. There's nothing. We haven't talked about contests since the war.
That'd be fine. But yeah.
I wonder if there's like a thing where they saw player engagement with contests and that's why they stopped doing it, or they just felt like, you know, they didn't want to do them anymore, because even if you didn't like them, I think people would generally say that they liked that they existed, because it was just something different to do.
Totally.
I don't think Black and White had it. I think Black and White 2 had something that wasn't contest,
but they had the triathlon placement thing.
Yeah.
Where you could enter your Pokemon in like the Olympics, essentially, which was, and you did mini games based upon that. And that was interesting. That was actually pretty similar to contests. I didn't get too much into that, because I didn't play Black 2 all too much, but it was interesting. I could use my favorite Pokemon that aren't, you know, super combat heavy.
Yeah, I could finally use Bidoof in something.
I use Cricketune.
Cricketune. That's good.
Yeah, boy.
My boy. My level 95 Cricketune.
Yeah, that was, I think that they kind of did that in Gen 5, and then maybe, I don't think Gen 6 had.
I don't know if Gen 6 did anything. That's
the first Pokemon Ami thing, right? Wasn't that Gen 6?
Yeah, when we got Pokemon Ami. They had the super training, which was EV training.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So maybe that replaced it.
Yeah, they felt like they had other supplemental modes to get.
I like the fact from Gen 6, I think, onward. Maybe it was Gen 5 as well, but you were allowed to reset your Pokemon's EVs so that you could, the Pokemon that you used the entire game, if you wanted to then train them to be competitive, you didn't have to get a whole new Pokemon, because the whole point of Pokemon is, you know, like, you're making friends, right? You don't want to ditch your friends at the end of the game because they're not, you know, super stat heavy.
Yeah, now they let you change their natures and their IVs and everything, which
I totally agree, as long as you, like, you know, you have to work for it a little bit, I think you have to fight in the battle tower, right?
Yeah, you have to get BP.
Bottle caps? It's the bottle caps, right? Is that what changes it? Yeah.
Which I really like that. I wish it was a little harder to do.
I want the EV remover things to be, because they were berries. Like, sometimes those are really a pain in the butt to get, and it's like random. You have to like shake trees and maybe you'll get one. So it's like, if you mess up a little bit, then it's like, all right, now I gotta go friggin' find a tree that has those berries in it or whatever.
I wish they just kept all of it in like battle, you know, keep it all in battle tower, battle whatever, frontier, whatever they're using.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, you use
doing this time.
You know, you put the work in, get some points, spend those points on making a better team to do more things. I think that makes sense.
A gameplay loop? We don't do that here.
A gameplay loop, yes, if you would. So that's cool. I mean, because definitely the worst part, like, because generally if I'm playing an older gen now, I'll like consciously be like, man, maybe I should be, you know, not killing this thing, because it doesn't give me the right EV. And I know I don't even need to do it. It's just like a subconscious thing that I know now. And once you kind of learn about it
and you do it a little bit, you're like, oh no.
I like cringe if I kill a Bidoof by accident.
My glass cannon just got a special defense EV that I'm
literally ruined. Then I like compare IVs, kind of. Like, I'll catch like three or four. Oh, like a Pokemon at a time. Like, I'm like, man, I want this on my team. I catch three or four of it and compare, like, what has the best IV, best nature.
That's not a bad strategy, at least. Like,
that's not too bad. But like, having to worry about EVs is such a pain, because I don't want to get rid of the Pokemon at the end of the game. You went through the entire game with them on a journey.
Yeah.
I don't want to just box them, because, you know,
don't kick them to the curb.
Don't want to kick them to the curb. Yeah. So I like that they're kind of streamlining more of that. In some way, it gets
easier and easier every game.
It does,
for better or for worse. But
yeah, for better or for worse, there's pros and cons, because like people who work really hard in the previous gens will have the advantage in like when they're playing online and competitive, and like maybe they deserve it, because, you know, Pokemon breeding is a huge thing, at least they say so in the anime and stuff, and so people would actually become like, you know, Pokemon breeders in the games, and now it's not really a thing anymore.
Yeah, but it does also discourage, if it's easier to do in game, then it'll discourage people from like hacking and stuff, which is a big hot controversy.
People are going to hack all the time because it's obviously going to be easier to hack it and get, a six IV freaking legendary shiny Deoxys as opposed to soft resetting 5 quintillion times.
It's a bit of an understatement. Some people do.
It is like, I remember there being like hot controversies and competitive because, someone like hacked a Pokemon and they tried to hide it and then they messed up. Like, this Pokemon can't be caught with this ball in this gen at this time. Like,
oh, was that Wolfie?
I don't remember who it was.
I don't remember. There was some controversy.
I just remember something like that happening. And like, people were like, it was, people are very much so like, they don't like seeing hacking in competitive. So if they can make it easier and discourage that kind of behavior, I'm sure Game Freak doesn't like it either. I'm sure Game Freak hates it more than
Game Freak doesn't like anything.
they hate hacking almost as much as they hate the players.
almost
as much. I'm more than happy to see like that. When I saw like we were getting mints to change natures, I'm like, oh, that's cool, because you get that shiny Pokemon and it's like, well, it has a nature that lowers attack. That sucks.
It would suck getting a freaking shiny and then it being like, you want it to have attack, but it's like minus attack plus special attack.
Yeah.
And then like the worst
IV minus speed, possible. But it's a Gengar minus speed. Big sad.
So like you wouldn't want to, like, it would feel bad whether you used it or not used it. Yeah. There's no winning scenario there. Like, yeah, you got the shiny, but like you're hamstringing yourself at that. Yeah, at what cost, essentially. So I do
like people. Some people do take that as a challenge to be like, I'm going to take my minus speed Gengar and make a fun, weird, quirky build out of it that no one's going to see coming, which, is appreciated as well. But
or you can do that. Or you
could just get a mint and change it, which is way better.
Yeah.
So Pokemon, guys.
What were we talking about?
It sucks. And we hate it. And
solutions are simple.
The solutions are very simple, I think, is the point of this conversation. And it kind of just baffles us that Game Freak won't, implement most of these. But it looks like, apparently, from what you were saying, Ryan, that some of the DLCs, maybe they're adding some more interesting stuff. And let's hope they maybe keep that trend going.
Wouldn't hold your breath.
I have not been convinced in their abilities yet, but
we'll see sooner than later because they love releasing Pokemon games.
They do.
Making money
every year, just about
every year, boys.
Every year, baby. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. We'll probably make another video or podcast when the new one comes out.
One of us,
Ryan, and I'll probably play it.
Tyler can observe from afar.
Yeah, very, very far away, like with a telescope.
Don't worry, you can play Legends Arceus.
You know what? I'll do that. Yeah, I hate my life. Why not?
I would. That's like one thing I would never even consider pre-ordering. Like, I didn't pre-order the new Pokemon because I'm going to wait to see what people say about it. But like, if you pre-order Legends Arceus, yikes, man. That's a big risk you're taking.
The thing that I'm like, what? Is they announced, they were like, here's the release date and the box art. And everyone's like, and a trailer? they just disappeared. Here's the release date. Here's what the box art looks like.
For what?
Goodbye. Like, for Arceus.
For Arceus, yeah.
Didn't they didn't release a trailer? They released a trailer. There was gameplay.
When they first announced that they had that trailer, and then like 4 months later, they're like, release date, box art.
Oh, bye. Really?
Yeah,
that means? That means they don't have gameplay to show.
So, well, they have to get it fast because the game comes out in January, which still blows my mind because that seems way too early.
It was definitely concerning.
But I'll do it. I'll sacrifice myself for the team.
Good man.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah. I'll probably
play it too, but we'll see.
A fellow martyr, I see.
Let us So listeners, let us know what you think. Are you excited for any of the new upcoming Pokemon games? Yes, no.
Why is Gen 5 your favorite?
Why is Gen 5 your favorite? Exactly. yeah, if you agree or disagree with anything we said, you know, please let us know. And I'm very curious to hear what the active community thinks, because you know, you hear a lot of things in echo chambers, you know, like Reddit and stuff, where there's big communities where they hate everything and they'll just repeat the same thing to each other, and you see big communities that love everything and they'll just, you know, praise it for some reason.
Very polarized.
It's very polarized, yeah. So yeah, let us know. You know, subscribe, follow us on whatever listening platform you are on. And we'll be back next time with
something else.
Something else. We haven't decided yet.
Yeah, this was our big
our big two-parter.
Big two-parter.
Our debut, if you would.
Oh yeah.
Kind of. All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
Adios.